right, so let's break down this market. Already an interesting one here in 2020. Figure out what people are seeing out there. And this fellow in particular, Aaron Kennan, co-founder, CEO of Clear Harbor Asset Management, looking after more than $700 million. He's in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me
back. I feel
like
we've been talking to you on the phone a lot lately.
That's right.
Here you
are. It's nice being in your studio here.
Yeah, exactly. Nice to have you here in our humble abode. So what do you make of even just the first few days of this market? I feel like last week sort of didn't count, even though some of us were working. I'm looking at Carol Masser
here. I worked Christmas week. I'm just going to say that.
But, you know, this week, obviously, not just from a everyone's back, but also from a news flow perspective, everything that happened in Iran, it got us right back into it. What do you make of the market so far in 2020?
Right. Well, Jason, never a dull moment. Clearly, the first handful of days here in the new year have wrought contemplation around geopolitical uncertainties and how that will now impact the market in 2020. I think the commentary just a week prior was whether or not this sort of global slowdown was going to turn into a U-shaped recovery or a V-shaped recovery or perhaps become something more akin to a recession. And so I think, you know, our radar screen here at Clear Harbor remains grounded on the fundamentals of our process, of our approach to how we allocate client capital. And even as it pertains to the geopolitical uncertainties, we ground ourselves in trying to force ourselves to separate our political views from how we objectively believe we should be peering through these moments of uncertainty. It's critical to do that. I think many investors have a hard time distancing themselves. And I think if you were bearish going into this Iran issue or going into China-U.S. trade or going into the U.S. presidential election in 16 or even under Obama, you would have hurt yourself in your portfolio significantly.
Aaron, is there some expectation that if things, whether it's the economy comes undone, and I'm speaking U.S. economy, but maybe even, you know, the global economy, if something happens there, or if there are increased geopolitical tensions that kind of are sustained, that we can just assume, first of all, that global central banks will keep it really easy with monetary policy? They certainly have up to this point. They've showed that when we start to get into trouble, they're going to reassure investors. Can we assure, you know, can we kind of count on that, and as a result, kind of set our investment portfolios based on that?
Well, Carol, one never knows the answer to that, but I would say our base case at Clear Harbor and my own personal base case is yes, that the Fed is there, that they understand they're sort of the last line in the sand for the marketplace. We saw that in Q4 2018, where the Fed was, you know, clearly stubbornly raising rates in the midst of slowing global economic data set and U.S. economic data set, and they finally capitulated on that. And I think they've learned their lesson. With that said, if you look at the dot plot at the Fed, for example, not just other global central banks, it remains extraordinarily optimistic that economic growth is going to be trending flat to higher and that rates over the long haul or even over the next several years will be trending higher. And I think that in itself is too optimistic. And I think the market believes that too. When you look at Fed funds futures contracts, it suggests that the Fed is very much on hold, if not perhaps at a point where they may cut within the next 12 to 18 months.
Aaron, I want to take a little bit of a turn here, talk a little bit about China and U.S.-China trade, but through the lens of someone who has lived in Hong Kong and Tokyo in addition, and Tokyo and Japan are a whole different story week with Carlos Ghosn and whatnot. But, you know, focusing on China, focusing on what's happening in Hong Kong specifically, threading that together with the trade war, as someone who knows these markets, knows these cultures, what do you make of this?
Well, that's a big question. I am deeply troubled by what we're seeing in Hong Kong. I think it's quite sad.
From what perspective? Sad about
well,
what?
Well, I think the writing was on the wall after, of course, 1997. But
that was the
reality
handover,
at the human level that these people believed in the idea that they would have two systems,
yeah,
and that their system would be very much different than mainland China. And they do have two systems, but they're converging. They're not diverging, and they're converging towards mainland China. And I think they feel that. They feel that in the press.
I would also imagine that having been there, you also understand the importance of Hong Kong in the global financial system as well. Yeah, I believe you were with Citi back then.
That's right.
Like,
yep.
Working there.
Good memory.
And so, I mean, you understand implicitly how, you know, this is a core part of, especially, like, it's only gotten more important over the years in terms of really connecting the world. And I do wonder what the implications are for sort of our collective, like, financial business in some ways.
Well, I think that corporate America, just as they up until recently didn't want to upset the apple cart in mainland China, I think that there are lots of conversations that must be taking place and have taken place over the last 18 months as we've gone through this sort of trade spat, where new alliances, new locations for new headquarters in Asia, or a slippery, slow move away from certain areas,
yeah,
may be upon us. And that may be a trend that we see over the next 20 years. China's here to stay. China will continue to grow as an economy. China will continue to have a greater significance in the global economic picture, undoubtedly. U.S. financial firms and corporations that sell goods and services into China will not just disappear, for sure. But I think that Apple, for example, is being extraordinarily thoughtful, I assume, in private, about where they produce their iPhone 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Because we know they're producing their iPhone in China, 100% mm-hmm. of them, in China today. And I think they view that as probably a corporate risk.
Yeah, and
really,
we've heard that from actually a fair amount of CEOs in terms of thinking about what their supply chain is,
right,
5 or 10 years from now versus where it is today.
Right. It's complicated,
making
for
them
sure.
Rethink it.
Well, thank you for such a thoughtful conversation. Great to have you here in studio with us. Aaron Kennan, co-founder and CEO of Clear Harbor Asset Management, looking after more than $700 million. He was here with us in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker studio.
Was indeed.